Boys and girls, welcome to the season finale of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, live on Twitch. It is yes. I, Michael Lindenbaum. He is Toru Masamune. I apologize for the horrible layout that you see live on Twitch. I literally had like 5 minutes to prep this real quick from what we would normally have if you saw us on YouTube. If we do more episodes next season live on Twitch, I promise we will have a better layout. But with that said, super quick, it goes without saying, before we do more proper introductions, we are part of the Voice of Palooza that Wes Johnson is running for the month of June, that is helping the Longest Day, the Alzheimer's Association, as part of Fallout for Hope as well. So please, if you're interested in donating to Alzheimer's Association to help the battle against Alzheimer's. I personally had a grandmother who had Alzheimer's. It is not fun. Click on the link that you see in the chat and donate today. It's a great cause, and there's a lot of great content that's actually happening live on Twitch right now as part of Voice of Palooza, and we are happily a part of that. So with that said, I'm Michael Lindenbaum. He's Toru Masamune. You may have seen him on a Twitch series.
Yes.
What was the name of that? What was the name of that show?
Triumphant return to Twitch.
What was the name of that show?
Artificial. Yeah.
It was Artificial. So if you afterwards, don't do it now. Watch us first.
Yeah. I think I'm just in the first. Well, watch the first two seasons, and it's kind of wonky, but yeah. But we won an Emmy for it. Isn't that crazy?
So yeah, I actually have a Twitch star. On the Twitch stream, the talk.
I was a Twitch. I went to TwitchCon. I don't remember what year, 18 or something like that, and people stopped me. So that's, I thought at I'm very, very proud that you know what. I'm like the Morgan Freeman story of like, yes, you can be a star on Twitch later in life.
Well, it's glad to have you back on Twitch. Obviously,
yes.
This is our final episode of the season for the More Phenomenal Hockey Show, because the Stanley Cup has been awarded, and I have this thing where I believe that once the cup's been awarded, you do one final episode, one final blog, whatever, and then you take the rest of the summer off.
These are exit interviews.
Yeah, these are our exit interviews, per se, which we know the Edmonton Oilers just had theirs yesterday. And obviously the Panthers kind of might be having theirs right now, but we'll get to that in a moment with Sam Bennett. But we obviously the Florida Panthers dominated the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 in game six to win the Stanley Cup, their second in a row, becoming the third team of the salary cap era to win back-to-back Stanley Cups following the 2016-17 Pittsburgh Penguins, the 2020-2021 with asterisks to both Tampa Bay Lightning, and now the 2024-2025 Florida Panthers.
Yep.
Obviously, you and I were rooting for the Oilers. We did not get our way.
Nope.
Lots of sadness. Lots of crying. So the first question I have to ask you is how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. As I was saying earlier, the timing of it is good. Whatever, phase of the seven stages of grief. I believe I'm well. I'm definitely. No, I would say I've hit acceptance pretty solidly. And so that was good. And the exit interviews were actually kind of nice too. Watching those because, well, you keep forgetting, And it was nice. I just recently watched the Knobloch Bowman one, which is actually I thought was most informative. And it's I don't know. It's interesting. I think people tend to be a little less guarded when they're talking at this point. And I think they're just I don't know. I still love the. Oh no, that wasn't an exit interview. That was right after the game. I was telling you, I love the Draisaitl. When they ask him about what's your takeaway, and he goes, "Well, the takeaway we didn't win." And he goes, "It's like because it's like look, nobody cares. Oh, like nobody cares. We didn't win, so we'll just try again next year." And so there's whole sense of somehow people are saying, "You know what? That happened. It's heartbreak, anger, whatever it is." And it is a little different because it's second time. So I think the feeling was, okay, well, we did it last year. Let's just roll up the sleeves. Let's get back to work because they, you know, they, I think everybody's very aware that everybody's still in the window. It would have been nice to, hit the pattern of hitting it the second year, but why not do it in the third year? And I think there are definitely years of a couple of wins. A lot of good things have to happen. Of course, we'll talk about, McDavid thing. I think it's. It is what it is. There's not much. No one really knows anything right now. I don't think anybody's really thought about the off season from the Oilers' side, so everything's speculation at this point. But I kind of feel like, well, as I was, as Draisaitl so eloquently put it, like the big takeaway is we didn't win, and that's all you can do. Like I was saying earlier, I think life is at the end of the day a work in progress, and you get up, and there's no reason to think that the window's closing yet, and so just try again next year, So it's good, it's good. I think it is what it is, and. But the beauty is there's next year, next season, right?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the big takeaway was out of McDavid's exit interview yesterday, where he kind of left the door open of him potentially maybe not re-signing with the Oilers because he does have 1 year left on his contract, and so now everyone's kind of thinking, hey, is this McDavid's way of saying if we don't win a cup this upcoming year in 2025 2026 season, could he be out the door, in a way? So it's interesting, and you also have to look at it from the perspective of there are two things that the Oilers need to really, really work on this offseason, and that's goaltending, which you're going to have to do it via trade, you're not going to be able to get it for free agency. And defense. And I'm sorry to everyone who keeps saying that Evan Bouchard's the guy. He is the guy who cost you the first goal in game six. And I think he was costly in game in a game a couple of the other losses as well. He's not, I've heard people going like, oh, Bouchard should be offered an 8 year with a 10.5 million AAV per year contract. And it's like that wouldn't jive with me, giving him 8 years for that. Darnell Nurse is your top defenseman, followed by Matthias Ekholm. They're your two most defensively reliable defensemen. I know people are like, oh, well, they're not puck movers. Yes, that's true. You didn't bring them to be puck movers. You brought them to be defensemen. You need to build around those guys because those guys are also getting older. When you look at that defense for the Edmonton Oilers. Like Jake Walman was a good trade deadline pickup. He could probably be a good fit going down the road for the Oilers. I'm not really familiar with some of the other defensemen on the team, like you would be. but I just know that
Stetcher would be the next man up.
Well, no, Stetcher, like, they played him in game 5 and they played him like what Stetcher played in game 3 and he only played like 4 minutes. And then he got some more meaningful games in game it was game 4, and then game 5 he got like more time, but then they pulled him for Klingberg. John Klingberg.
Yep.
And so that tells you it's like, A, Stetcher's not the guy that they truly trust, but also at the same time, Klingberg is a guy that they may not, you know, fully trust on the back end as well.
Yeah. I mean, Klingberg has the nice puck mover thing. I know that's the philosophy. It's interesting watching the exit interview for Stan Bowman. And, you know, one thing it's so funny. I'm big on legacy and where people come from, and it's kind of nice when he says, I was talking to my dad the other day.
I've got good old Scotty. Oh, dude,
that's some good advice. You're getting some good advice. And so that makes me feel good. And of course he has the pedigree. It's pedigree. I guess pedigree is important to me. One thing he was, and he's big on the puck moving, and he had a very funny moment where I was doing a workout while watching the interview on TV and blah, blah. So, you know, you miss things every so often because you're mid push up or something like that. And he's talking about, you know, bringing the group back. And he was saying, you know, of course, it's going to be, and his philosophy was, even when you win, you know, it's good to bring in new guys, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. And he started talking. And I thought I heard him say, we don't plan on bringing this. What he said was we don't plan on something like on bringing the same group back, right? And I thought what I heard was, we don't plan on bringing the same D back. I thought that he said. And then I replayed his group. And then later he said that was one thing he was very happy with, was the D. I know he's big into puck movers, and so I don't know
puck movers. I mean, I'm not downplaying puck movers, but the thing is, though, is that you need that balance between guys who are puck movers and guys who are actually defensemen and who are going to be who you can trust to shut things down.
Well, and that is a problem. And he does his mistakes are so egregious, and they always end up in goals, you know, so it's kind of weird. I mean, he's kind of he's very we're talking about Bouchard. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I didn't get any sense from Bowman that, you know, and McDavid said that he absolutely wants him back, and I think McDavid's going to get whatever he wants. You know?
It's kind of like Ovechkin with the Capitals and Crosby with the Penguins. You know, these guys are going to get whoever they say. It's like, hey, I like this guy, get him on the team.
Yep.
You know, and that's what they're going to do.
End of discussion, right?
Yeah.
End of discussion, pretty much. So. So at least McDavid said that. So, and really, and sort of backtracking to what you were saying earlier, you know, I just think everything's such speculation right now. And I think I kind of feel McDavid, he's a smart, he's very close to the vest when he's talking. And I think he said, I believe it's his lawyers and his agents. The one excited person, I don't know if he's an Edmonton guy, but his, you know, McDavid's agent has got to be pretty psyched right now. But I think a lot of it is saying, you know, that's classic negotiating. You don't say I'm in, right? I mean, that's negotiating 101. So there's part of me thinking that was there. And also, you know, so I don't know. I heard in our beer league locker room that his McDavid's wife just opened up a restaurant or something like that in Edmonton. So, you know, which reminded me of Brady selling his home just before he left the Patriots, you know, like little things like that are very telling. And so we'll see what happens. But I do believe that the big part is for McDavid is that he doesn't care about anything. Money will be nice. His agent is I'm sure very very
the agents are all blood. Money the agents are
yeah yeah
all
no
money.
He's the agent,
they want their cut
he's salivating. The agent is salivating right now, so I'm sure he said, McDavid, don't leave doubt. I'm sure he said that because they will play that for sure. And but I think really from McDavid's standpoint, I don't know him, you know, but I'm guessing that he's all he wants is the cup, and he just all he wants to be sure is that if you can create a team that will win the cup next year and the year after that and for years to come, then I'm sticking around. I think that's the only thing on the table for him, and so that's kind of up to Bowman and Knobloch and all those guys to create a team that that has a shot for the next couple of years, and I think we're good to go. So anyway, but
I also think at the same time with McDavid is that say the Oilers fall short again and he hasn't signed a contract yet, which is very possible. Like, I could see him not signing a contract until next summer, legitimately, if it's an extension or if it's with somebody else.
Because I guess what's happening in July is they can start talking.
Yeah, so July, they could start talking now if they want to. It's just that he cannot officially sign an extension until July 1st, because that's when... So the way contracts work in the NHL is that the contract year expires June 30th. And the new contract year begins July 1st. So once the clock strikes midnight, learn to talk, Mike, they are then able to negotiate, or they're then able at that point sign a contract. And we'll get to a clear case example in a little bit due to an announcement that came out today for the Winnipeg Jets. But I want to stick to the Oilers for a moment, but I want to say this about McDavid. Say they fall short again next year. McDavid hasn't signed his new contract at that point. I could maybe see McDavid leaving Canada for a smaller market team that is a cup contender. And I'm not talking like Florida and stuff like that. I am talking like technically speaking,
in the Stanley Cup. I know it's a little random, but
technically speaking, do you know who a small market team is? The Washington Capitals. They don't have a lot of But here's the thing: they don't get a lot of media attention. Yeah. Utah is a small market team, not a lot of media attention. Carolina Hurricanes, small market team, not a lot of media attention. Caps and Canes are always in that conversation as playoff/cup contenders. Utah,
and they would pay.
And they would pay. The Utah, well, Carolina a little bit with their ownership, I don't know sometimes. Utah Mammoth, you know that owner is willing to spend the money and he wants a championship team right away. So Utah is a team that's been coming up a lot lately, especially the fact that you have Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers, who's a free agent. Aaron Ekblad is a free agent. And there was like one other Florida Panther big name. Oh, Brad Marchand, who's a free agent. And here's the thing. Everyone thinks Brad Marchand's going to go to the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's talk about if they can't re-sign him, Ekblad maybe going to Utah, which would really bolster that defensive core over there after getting Sergachev from the Tampa Bay Lightning last summer. And then Sam Bennett, which is the wild card, you know, who knows where he could go, but you know he's going to make bank. I think he's going to get way overpaid because he's more of a playoff performer, and I would rather pay the guy for his playoff performance than what he does in the regular season. But that's just me. But yeah, so I definitely feel like, you know, you have to look at it from that perspective with McDavid as well. Of like, he's been in Canada his entire career. No matter what market you're in Canada, you're going to have every camera on you no matter what. Yep. Because you're in Canada. Could he want to get out of Canada to a smaller market team that is a playoff contender, that is a potential cup contender, you know, instead to kind of get out of that spot? I mean, he'll still have a spotlight on him because he's the best NHL player right now, period.
Yeah.
But it takes some of that limelight off of him so he could just focus on playing.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
So I just wanted to throw that out into the ether. I know I'm wearing a Caps jersey. I know I'm a Caps fan. I know I mentioned the Caps as a team for McDavid. I mean, Ovi's probably retiring after next season, so we need a new superstar.
Well, certainly anything can happen, and I want to get back into that, but just so I don't forget, is we haven't really had a chance to talk about it, but how are you doing? Now, I think both of us are in the situation that really the final part of the acceptance part, I believe a big part of it, is no one thought we would get this far anyway. And, of course, at the beginning of the year, everybody thought Edmonton would be here. But
A lot of people didn't think the Caps were.
All of us, well, I would say the Caps got further than everybody thought Edmonton would, but Edmonton at the beginning of the playoffs, I had them winning, but honestly.
So I know you want to segue to me talking about the Capitals. I know what you're doing, and I love it, but I want to use it to segue into our predictions instead.
Okay.
So I want to throw this out there. First round, you went a magnificent 7-1.
Yep.
I went 5-3, and our good friend Ted Starkey, from HockeyHotStove.com, went 6-2. Then in the second round, you went 3-1, I went 1-3, and Starkey went 2-2, which meant you were now at that point at the end of the second round 10-2. I'm 6-6, and Starkey's 8-4. In the conference finals, you went 2-0, I went 1-1, and Starkey went 1-1. That made you 12-2, me 7-7, and Starkey 9-5. Then in the cup final, we both went 0-1 because we both picked the Oilers, fingers crossed. Yeah. And then Starkey picked the Panthers, which meant he went 1-0. So you went 12-3, I went 7-8, and Starkey went 10-5.
Okay.
This is why I don't do predictions. Because I won't go far. But I needed to bring that up real quick because I thought that was a worthwhile thing.
Yeah, I guess
to bring
that's the
up.
One thing. I mean, it would have been nice if it was 13-2, ultimately. But
hey, I wish I could have gone 8-7, but you know, I'm below 500.
Yeah. So I guess. Yeah, it's interesting. I tend to be very intuitive. I just watch hockey, and I go with my gut, and I try not to go against it. You know. So. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's where that came from.
But yeah, but going on to, I knew you were segueing to the Caps for me. So obviously I've had more time to do post-mortem because the Caps were eliminated in the second round. Honestly, when you look at the Caps, and you and I, we've talked about this a few times this season, especially when we're getting close to the playoffs. And when the Capitals clinch their playoff spot. You know, the Capitals going from being the last team to make the playoffs last year to the first team that clinched their playoff spot this year was an amazing turnaround, which tells you that the pickups of Pierre-Luc Dubois, Logan Thompson, Andrew Mangiapane, Taylor Radish, Brandon Duhaime, Jacob Chychrun, Matt Roy were the right moves. They were the right moves for this season. Now, granted, I'll talk about later, Andrew Mangiapane, Taylor Radish, they're not coming back during the season. Caps trade for Lars Eller. He will not be coming back. My boy Ethan Bear has been granted permission to talk to other teams. He didn't get to play at all with the Caps this season. Was strictly in Hershey. But all the guys played a role that needed to be played that contributed to the success of the Washington Capitals this season. However, Ovechkin, mentioned him earlier, he's also in the last year of his contract. He is most likely, in my opinion, is going to retire at the end of the season.
I would believe that.
When the 2025-26 season is over. That is my belief. Unless the Capitals are like the Oilers and they made the cup final and Ovi's like, yeah, okay, let's try it one more time. You know, that's the only way I could really see Ovi doing it. And I
next year.
After 20. So like, if the Caps make it to the final in 2026,
I see.
And they fall just short or something, I can see Ovi maybe going the next year, going like, we gotta run it back. We gotta see if we can try. That's the only way I see Ovechkin playing in the 26-27 season. But I don't see it happening. Especially if the Caps win the Cup, then you're going out a champion.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be ideal.
And then Connor McDavid could just slot right into Ovi's spot, and there you go. As I tease. Well,
it could be an Oilers Caps
I tease the McDavid stuff, so please don't come at me in the chats or anything, or in the comment section, please. And you and I, and again, we talked about this. When Ovi was chasing Gretzky, it took a lot out of the team, because the focus after they clinched their playoff spot was, we're getting Ovi the record. And I told you, I want Ovi to get it done by the end of March, first weekend of April, max. Right. Because the team needs to reshift their focus back onto the regular season and getting ready for the playoffs. Luckily, it happened on April 6th, gave the Capitals 2 weeks to get themselves back in form for the playoffs, played great against Montreal. But the Gretzky chase, you have to ask the question of, at what cost? And the answer to that was, you ran out of gas, as Ted Starkey properly pointed out. The Capitals ran out of gas against the Carolina Hurricanes. They weren't able to impose their will on the Canes like they were able to do against the Montreal Canadiens, and a big portion of that is just running out of gas.
Yep. Yep.
So...
which is, I think, a big... That's the art of playoff hockey and winning the cup. I mean, you know, I've always wondered if sometimes, you know, the contenders, and it seems that way, that they're always willing to sacrifice... Well, both the people in the finals this year are willing to sacrifice the regular season.
Did you see the thing about Alexander Barkov's hand? I think I sent it to you. But, like, his hand, like, right here on the palm, you can see, like, a big cut with stitches. And apparently that happened in game one, and they stitched it up, and the stitchers kept breaking, so they glued his hand essentially together so he could finish the Stanley Cup final.
That's crazy.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins played, McDavid actually pointed out that he was, that Nugent-Hopkins was playing with a broken hand. We got to touch base on this. Zach Hyman. Losing Zach Hyman in the conference finals against Dallas was a huge blow.
Think that's a difference between 6 and 7 games for sure.
And maybe a win or two as well.
But for sure, that was the difference between 6 and 7 games.
Yeah. You know, not having a guy who is net presence, battles on the corners, you know, gets those dirty goals.
Remember that game just before he went out? Remember he got a couple goals.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did.
Beautiful goals too. I mean, they weren't just like, you know, greasy goals. They were just like, you know, they were beautiful.
Yeah, no, he can score from anywhere and everywhere. He battles. He has net presence. He's a catalyst. And then once he got hurt, you had to rely on a 40-year-old Corey Perry.
Well, the thing they were saying about Hyman too, which is interesting, is it's not so much his competitiveness and his size or whatever. He said he understands the physics of hitting so well, like leverage, like that. That was the thing that and I thought about that. It's like, well, that'd be great to be the smart goon, right? I mean, that knew exactly how to hurt you.
Hockey, you know what I mean? IQ is better than any analytical stat you can put out there.
Yeah.
Hockey IQ will trump Corsi. Hockey IQ will trump any of these analytical stats anytime. Because as long as you know what you're actually doing out there on the ice, all that analytics don't mean squat, except for if you're gambling.
Yep. So
it's been a recurring, for those of you watching us for the first time on Twitch, there's a recurring theme where I constantly bash gambling.
Yeah. Yeah, gambling, you know, it's funny because, yeah, gambling's funny. I actually, I was in Vegas the other day just hanging out with the college friends. I had a blast. I mean, part of it is I was distracted by being with, you know, with my old fraternity buddies, and that was pretty awesome. We're a very tight group. We're still very tight. And, but I would walk down there, and it's weird. I've lost my interest in gambling. That would include sports gambling. I said, I mean, I get it, and I like a good game of cards, don't get me wrong. I like that. But to me, I'm with you. It's like it kind of messes things up. I think it messes up your enjoyment of, certainly for sports betting. I would never bet on sports.
I can, not today, because this is our season finale, and I know we want to keep this to an hour, so I will not get on that soapbox today. But we will definitely do that in a future episode next
Okay.
season.
We'll have a
Maybe.
little gambling, sports betting, and we'll have a little
And
one.
we'll just have like the big cross out on it on our
I like
thing.
it. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
But maybe I could get on that soapbox when we do the thing that we talked about doing that we never got to do this season, and that's a watch party for a game next
Yeah,
season.
I would have done it this the finals. I thought, you know what, you don't want to be with me during a watch game during the finals, because
Well, even then,
I
we were going to try to do it during the regular season too,
well, you know,
and
and I
schedules just
and
didn't match up.
yeah, because I was at a sports bar with some friends. I would think I'd be shocked. The only words that were exchanged was an Edmonton goal. And there was just cheers, and we didn't chat. We didn't, you know, we chat on the intermission a little bit because you can't hear
I think
commentary.
the most conversation you might have had was with me when I called you and put you on
Oh
the
yeah.
stream during the watch
Yeah, sort of
party.
the post-mortem. Yeah,
It was like a
that was therapy.
second intermission post-mortem,
That wasn't a conversation. That was therapy. So that was pretty bad. But
I'm glad that it helped though a little bit, you know.
yeah, well, you know, it was it's weird, you know, fandom, it's real, man. You know, it's weird how much it affects your mood, and I guess that's good, and I guess that's why we do it. But anyway, but yeah, so I think during a live stream, you know, I'm sure you'd have the same thing with the Caps in the final. It's so stressful. It's kind of nice not having a horse in the
So
race, you know.
I will say this. Game five of the second round when the Caps got eliminated, I was sitting in my seat. I was there,
Yeah.
and the I remember, like, I have a nice seat where I sit, there's like a guard rail in front of me, and I just kind of remember, and I want to do my best to impersonate, but I'm hunched forward and my arm is like this, just hanging my or no, both my hands are like this,
Yeah.
hanging on top of the railing, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, this is over. And I think it was when Aho scored, Sebastian Aho had
Yeah,
scored the first goal.
what was that? What were the scores, period goals, period scores on that last game?
I think it was like nothing, nothing into the third period.
Yeah.
And then Aho scored on a fluke play, and at
Oh,
that
that's
moment,
right. That's right. It was like
yeah.
a.
It was like
I
right off the
remember. Okay, so
face-off. It was right
that
off
was
the,
a tight
and it
game.
happened right in front of me too, like where my seat was. That face-off
That's
circle was
right.
closer to me, even though I'm up in the 400s. And I just remember seeing, and I remember seeing Aho score, and I just go, "Oh, fuck!" You know, like you could just feel the air just taken out of everybody on
I
that
think
one.
everybody felt that during the goal, third
Oh,
goal.
I definitely, to be honest,
In the end.
I felt that. Like the air being taken out of on the first goal. When Reinhardt scored his first
Well,
goal.
finally, like that was the one thing that would have lit that, you know, that arena up. Is let's get a lead. Let's play with a lead for once, you know, and or
Well,
at least get the first goal. Get the first goal. That would have
keep
been
in mind,
huge.
Game six was in Florida. So the thing is that
Oh,
you
that's right.
had.
It was in Florida. Never mind.
So
Yeah.
Reinhardt scoring the
That's
first
right.
goal off of
That's right.
the fumble by Bouchard, that put life into Marin Arena, but
And
then
also
tucked the air out of the sails of the Oilers.
and especially because it's a Bouchard fumble. Actually, I don't think it was. I think it was an Ekholm pass, quite frankly.
Well, here's the thing. We'll talk about, because we're also going to talk about me playing in the tournament a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put some time aside for that. And I guess I want to say this, because there's a comparable between what me and my team did up in Canada 2 weekends ago and what Ekholm's pass to Bouchard was. Here's the thing. In ball hockey, we have a lot of passes that just are errant. It's just a natural thing for ball hockey. We're not professionals or anything like that. But here's the thing.
Well, also, I think it's the ball.
That doesn't matter. I know how to manipulate. I've been playing ball hockey longer now than I've played ice hockey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So just to kind of you learn the physics. But the thing is, though, is that there's a lot of stuff that we do the same way as in ice hockey that we do in ball hockey. One of those things is catching an errant pass like the one that Matthias Ekholm sent to Evan Bouchard. And the thing is that Bouchard, all he had to do was see, okay, I have it coming this way. All he had to do was take his foot and kick it to his stick.
Stop it. Right.
And instead, he did this thing where he utilized both of his feet instead of one foot. He just needed to use the left foot to just kind of take it and bounce it to his stick.
Like a soccer move.
But instead, he kind of went in and he went with like both legs and he had it hit off the shin guards. And, you know, it wasn't, he could have corralled that cleaner.
Yeah.
And because he corralled it in such a way, Reinhart was able to strike in an attack. For the strip of the puck. So it's like, Ekholm could have possibly have done a better pass, but at the same time, you guys are professionals who practice this every day, day in, day out, play games night in, night out. You got to be, you should know how to corral that type of pass when it comes your way.
And I think also, too, is everybody knew that the big thing was the Panthers' forecheck, and that was the one thing you had to neutralize, and that's exactly what I think. That's everything all said is that, you know what, everything they said is true. You know, the Panthers' forecheck, everything, Bouchard's error, like everything was true. You know, Skinner's, you know, whatever, everything was true, came true. That I think that's what you're talking. I'm guessing, and I think you're right. We all felt it sort of like, you know, I think as an Oilers fan, you're kind of thinking, well, it's early, and we've been playing behind. You know, this has happened every game anyway, and we've won.
The Panthers led. Let me put this, or let me actually go this way. The Oilers led in the Stanley Cup Final a total of like 34 minutes.
Yeah.
The Panthers led for, I believe, almost 300 minutes.
Yep.
In the Cup Final. I'm sorry.
Especially in the Oilers game to play. Well, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, there's part of it is that they've been playing. That's the story of the whole season, you know.
We talked about this on the phone after the game. You called me. We had like that nice long, I know for you, therapeutic conversation where we talked about it, and I was like, you know, you don't want to be like the young gun Washington Capitals, where the nickname for the team was the Cardiac Caps, where the Capitals were coming back all the time. It's like that stuff catches up to you. And that, and I think I said this to you in our phone call afterwards, was that's what finally caught up to the Oilers, was the constant playing from behind.
When I think also there's that sense, I feel like in that game six, is that, you know what, we know, you know, there are jokes of, oh, we, you know, got the Panthers just where we want them. But I think there's that whole sense of, you know, at some point your luck runs out, and it's just, it's not a smart, you know, they've been saying that all year, you know, it's not a good way to play. And one thing that was interesting, I remember I just had the TV on mute. I can't remember. I was going through something and they were just showing little outtakes from the Oilers. And I thought, wow, they were so good up through, you know, game, second period of game four and game two in the finals. And watching a couple of the earlier ones against Dallas, and, you know, when they were playing with leads, you know, when they were dominant. And, wow, when they have that luxury, their game, their offense comes to life, and it's they're an amazing team, but they never got to that because they're playing behind.
And McDavid and Dreis, actually McDavid was noticeable in game six. Dreisaitl to me disappeared after maybe the first half of the first period. Yeah. Like Dreisaitl was not noticeable at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that I noticed watching game six. But I mean, it is what it is. But real quick, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing this stream as part of Wes Johnson's Voice of Palooza, raising money for the longest day, the Alzheimer's Association. All month long, people have been streaming as part of a global streaming event for Wes Johnson's Voice of Palooza, raising money for Alzheimer's Association to help battle against Alzheimer's. Me, myself, I have had a family member who has had Alzheimer's. I've seen what it can do. It is not fun, not recommended. So please, if you can, donate today. Click the link that's in the chat, or if you're watching this on YouTube after the fact, click the link in the description of the video. So with that, back to us. Sorry, I had to do that little promotion there.
No, we're good.
But great way to transition. I mentioned I was in Canada. I got to play up at the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament as part of the LA Mings in the Vuiski Street Hockey League. And we did good. I know I sent you the videos. I know you haven't watched them. It's okay. It's fine.
One
of the things I might do to end the month of June for Voice of Palooza is actually stream the games here on Twitch and do watch alongs with the games, because I own the videos. I own the content.
Oh, that's right.
I can show it on my stream no matter how many times I would like to do it. So, but yeah, so we could easily do that as a watch along thing, watching my games. Just pardon the videos quality, because we don't have professional videographers or anything like that. But no, overall, I'm very proud of my team. As I said, the LA Mings, which is named after Ming Chen of AMC's Comic Book Men. We played with heart. We played for fun. And because we had a lot of family members there, we were literally a family. And I think that contributed to the success that we had. In our first game against Grace's Tigers, Grace is the name of Kevin Smith's mother. Tiger is actually his nickname from his mom. So everything in the Vuiski Street Hockey League is Kevin Smith related. So just to put that out there. And we played the Grace's Tigers. We beat them 6-2, and I had 2 assists. I'm very happy for myself, because my buddy Shaggy and I, we were able to connect on a play that we tried 4 years ago, and instead of him shooting while he was standing in front of the net, he passed it. This time he called for it, and he actually shot it, and he scored, so I will happily take that assist any day of the week. And the way the play worked out, and it's actually one of the, it's in the highlight thing that I just put up on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook Reels, and stuff like that. On the bigger rinks, I will actually play behind the net a lot more. And I set people up from behind the net like Wayne Gretzky would.
Oh, nice.
So I do that quite a bit. I love doing it. It's because most of the time the goalies aren't ready for passes from literally behind the net to somebody. So
it's such a great thing for the Wings to just know that, okay, so-and-so's behind the net now, and there's going to be all of this, it's going to be all mucked up. You won't see what's going on, but you can say, you know what? If I keep skating in the slot, something's going to come at me out of nowhere. And then that's a great feeling to know that that's probably going to happen.
Well, here's the other thing. But I also changed the tactic a little bit too, because our second game was also on the big rink. We played the Bethlehem Buddies. We lost that game 5-2. It was actually a close game until the second half. Like, it really was. It was just kind of a bummer that penalties got involved. We kind of fell apart defensively. We weren't, and I take responsibility as captain, because last time I played the Buddies, they mercy ruled us. So I was like, hey, we got to be smarter defensively and stuff like that. And I kind of took us out of our game a little bit, because I wanted us to play a different style against them. And that was the mistake that I made.
Yep.
And I even apologized to my teammates. It's like, hey, I'm captain. Always I'm kind of coaching. It's like, that was my mistake. I shouldn't have done that. But we also kind of unraveled as a team in general, you know, that game. And I think the penalties had it involved. There were some guys taking a couple. I didn't really notice it in the videos, and I was watching very clearly for it. But there was some cheap stuff here and there. But
well, I think that's sort of been a theme that I feel like, well, it's a great theme, is you always have to play your game.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen. You got to pay attention, and you have to understand the situation. But at the end of the day, don't play your game, you're not going to win.
Yeah. I'm glad that you say that. You don't play your game, you don't win. Luckily, the next day, we now go on to the smaller ranks that are fenced off, and they actually create like 10 rinks in a parking lot with fencing.
Wow. Okay.
And it's actually the rink itself that they create is about the size of what we play in on Monday nights at the Daysick Community Center in North Potomac, Maryland. And so for like me, Greeny, Berkey,
there are no boards or anything, right? This was just in a
so the thing. First two games were on like roller hockey rinks.
Oh. Which have
the boards and everything, yeah. But the rest of the way was in these fenced off, like the fencing are your boards. Let's put it that way.
Can you use them?
Yes, but it's not very effective.
Are they like are the link fences?
Kind of, so yeah. It's more like rotted, like that. Like this.
Yeah, but that could be a cool crazy play, right?
Yeah, like sometimes it's very. It doesn't work sometimes.
If you're really far behind and you just need that lucky bounce, just whack it into the wall and see what happens.
Yeah, we try. It's not very effective. it's not like on the big rinks. But anyways, we go from the big rinks. Our first two games were on the big rinks, and then our third round robin game was on the smaller rink that's in the street with the fencing, and we play the Salsa Sharks. Real quick, Bethlehem Buddies. That is a reference to the movie Dogma. Their logo is Buddy Christ, is the Buddy Jesus Christ emblem from Dogma. So if you ever watch Dogma and you remember like when George Carlin's character, who I think is a cardinal, and he's like, oh, we're going to revitalize the Catholic Church, and they unveil like the Buddy Christ. And he's kind of like that. So that's the Bethlehem Buddies. Salsa Sharks is a reference to when Randall was taking a nacho and having it swim through salsa, and he's singing Salsa Shark. So that's the reference for that team's name. Nice. Everyone's just like, oh joy, more nerd stuff about Kevin Smith. Yes, you're gonna get one more. We ended up tying that game 2-2. We got back to our game. We were actually up 2-1, and then we gave up a late one to tie it, and we were just like, we could have had it. But the good thing about that is that having a win-loss tie, it got us in the playoffs.
Nice.
And it put us at that time into fifth place. And the fourth place team was the Vuiskew Vulgarians. Vuiskew is obviously the name of Kevin Smith's production company. Vulgarians is because if you ever watched a Vuiskew movie, it has a lot of vulgarity to it. We beat them 10-6 in our quarterfinal game. I had a hat trick. So I ended up with 3 goals that game. And overall, really happy with how the team performed. We took the tie in stride and just went, and we unleashed a lot of goals. Which then took us to the semifinals. This is where things got complicated, because there was a lot of questions about who was going to face who. And there was a lot of questioning of, should we reseed the teams? Because technically speaking, and a lot of people were saying this, the Buddies should have played the Mall Rat, or no, the Buddies should have played the Yoga Hosiers, the Salsa Sharks should have played the Minx. That's how it should have been. But instead, you got the Salsa Sharks versus the Yoga Hosiers, and the Yoga Hosiers is the name of one of Kevin Smith's movies. That's not part of the Vuiskewverse, but part of his horror verse that he does. And we ended up playing the Buddies again. And we ended up losing that game 5-2. And that one was, that one in a way, let's put it, looking back at it retrospectively, was probably like game 6 of the Stanley Cup final in a way. Where it's like, we actually did, like, I think we got the 1-0 lead. And then they just got like 4, and then we got one more, and then they scored again, and it was like, it hurt. and it's funny because after we had played the Buddies and everyone saw how closely we were to them for a while until like the second half we just fell apart, and the way we played the Tigers, a lot of people were coming to us saying the Mings versus the Buddies is the championship game this year, and then it ended up being the semifinal game. And then, of course, obviously in the and I scored in the semifinal game, but like it was kind of irrelevant. But but in the championship game, it ended up being the Salsa Sharks versus the Buddies. So it's the team that we tied against and the team we lost to twice in the championship game. Now you see why everyone's saying that we probably could have easily been in the championship game ourselves.
Yep.
And the Bethlehem Buddies actually won, so we take solace of the fact that both of our losses were to the eventual champions, and we didn't lose to anyone else the rest of the tournament.
Yep.
So,
nice.
So I will say that that was a thing. But like I said, and I think I even sent you one of our team pictures after the tournament. I think I did.
Yeah, I'll definitely check all that stuff out.
Yeah, but I'm still proud of my team. I can't wait to run it back with them next year up in Canada and Brantford. It was so much fun. And I got a Zach Hyman jersey when I was up there. That's with funny. The Oilers. Yeah, and then I actually had it mailed to my hotel room, the Oilers 2023 Heritage Classic jersey. I sent you a picture of that too. So I enjoyed my time up there. I say it every time I'm up there. The time, it goes by way too fast, and it's just too short of a time to be up there. I can't wait to be up there again to play, up there. It's awesome up there.
It's pretty magical. I was just saying, I was talking to a teammate the other day, and we were just talking about how great, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're not professionals or anything like that, but that whole idea of having a team, being on a team, and just the experience of it. I mean, it's just nothing like it, right? And I think hockey is just such a crazy thing because the goals, everything has to go right. I know it's like that in every sport, but it's so chaotic. And what, I mean, it's like each play is a miracle. And even one thing I thought, I gotta work on my game. And because there was this whole thing where, you know, you're going, and I'm definitely a role player. I just things I do, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I can just disrupt the game, whatever. I'm not a scorer, put it that way.
It depends on who I play against.
Well, you know, but what I do is I try and create more opportunities for our goal scorers to score goals, and I know what that means, you know. But there's one point where I'm going up and seeing, and it was a classic rebound off the pads. And I'm just sitting there. You see that whole part above the goalie.
Yep.
And like that moment of like, I guess that's what I got to get rid of is like, oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah, you just got it. You just got to do it.
I fanned on it, and it's interesting because there's this whole rule. This one guy says no one timers. You know, where you're not dry settle. There no like don't take, you know, cradle the puck. Get it into where, you know, that kind of thing. And I had that opportunity, and I remember I missed and I fanned on it, and I just like whacked my stick on the ice, and then, you know, everybody was someone, people were joking it back at the bench. They go, that's one of those moments where you can't believe it's happening, and because of that you rush or whatever. And I do remember I was saying later to this guy, I was just saying, even the opportunity to make a mistake like that at this level is really glorious, you know, because you know next time I'm not gonna let that happen, you know what I mean? And whenever that next time is, right, when you get that perfect rebound. And I just keep thinking, man, nothing like Hockey's a great game. It's a great game, and to be on a team is really I can't.
It's magical.
I don't know what. I don't know why more people don't do it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think. You know, it's funny. You say that about like those moments, right? It's like, I can't believe this is happening. I don't have those moments when I play. Because I actually do think with a shoot first mentality, it's not a matter of like, oh, you know, you get in, then you just shoot it. It's actually, I'm more retrospective, especially the fact that majority of my games nowadays get filmed because I want them filmed. So I have that ability to get them filmed and then I'm able to watch them back. And especially right now, because I've been creating content, if you've noticed, on my Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, actually it's even going on to YouTube as a short. I'm creating these like short reels of highlights from the games where I'm just clipping stuff together, and as I'm watching the games back to find those pieces that I want to put in those highlights, like the minute 30, I think the longest one's 2 minutes, and that's the last game against the either that or the game against Bulgarians, which I have to re-edit tomorrow. I see things where it's like, man, I am wide open with nobody on me.
Oh,
and the and our guys got the ball behind the net, and I should have gone, yo, point.
Yes.
You know, so yes. I'm looking at more stuff like that, going like, man, I could have had an easy layup, because the moment that ball gets to me, I am just launching that sucker off my stick at the net. You know, so I'm looking at that, and then the other thing obviously for me is that, and I wanted to mention this, big rink, I try to get out a little bit more sometimes away from the net, but on the smaller rinks, I actually put myself in front of the net. I actually create a net front presence.
Yeah, that was fun. I just love going when it goes out to the point and then you're screening. You know what, to me, you know, because I told you that's kind of, I'm in, you know, that's my job. And I think when I feel like when I'm doing my job, when I feel like, okay, yes, I'm doing exactly what I do, and when the goalie shoves me from the back, I love that. It's sort of like, and they, or, you know, or the, whatever defenseman is there. But I just, when I get a big shove from the goalie, it's like, yes, okay. And hopefully that puck is, you know,
flying. I actually have a video that I clipped together. It's all three of my goals from the Mings game, or the Mings-Bulgarians game. I'll send it to you so you can see it, because you'll see how I score my first two goals.
Okay.
Because the third goal, it's just me and Shaggy going 2-on-0 on the goalie, and he just does a slight little pass, and I 5-hole it on the goalie.
Are you a center, or what?
So it's 4v4, so we just go by the designation of forward. Okay. But if it was 5v5, I would be a left winger.
You'd be a left winger.
Yeah, I'd be a left winger on if it was 5v5.
And you're a righty, lefty?
I'm a right-handed shot.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I actually...
Oh, that's fun. Like, sometimes the right... Right on the left wing, there's something kind of cool about that.
I, for whatever reason, I was on the right side a lot during the tournament, and a lot of my shots were just not landing the way I wanted them to land, because I don't shoot from the right side a lot. Yeah. I shoot from the left side a lot. And so, like, when Shaggy and I are going down on that 2-on-0, he's on the right side, I'm on the left, so he's passing it for me to get that quick one time off. And it's like, yeah, this feels natural. But my first two goals, you'll like it, because net front presence, one hand on the stick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One is forehand, one is backhand.
Okay.
So I'll send you the video after we're done here. It's a nice little clip, or a highlight of clips put together. It's like 30 seconds, but still. That's just how I play. Ice hockey, God, I wouldn't know how. I mean, I would be a left winger without a doubt, but I don't know how my role would be right away, just simply because I have not played ice hockey competitively since December of 2004.
Yeah.
And I've been playing ball hockey competitively since 2010.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I had a 12-year ice hockey career, and I'm now on 15 years for ball hockey.
Nice.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know what my role would be, but I think I would probably be like your third, fourth line grinder.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
And I would be getting a lot of garbage goals.
Yeah, garbage goals, and then, It's nice, yeah. And sometimes nice to be a righty and play on the right wing, because then you can bounce off the boards. You know what I mean? So, and that's kind of, you know, just dump and chase, that kind of stuff. So, it's interesting. But you know, bottom line is, you know, I to me, from my perspective, it's like it's just the greatest game in the world. You know, I mean, it's just like it's so fun. It's so ridiculously fun, and the payoff is so immense, you know. So I don't know, but I mean, I love all sports, and now my focus turns to the NFL. You know,
my focus turns to crying in the fetal position, especially the fact that we're about to get a heat wave out here, and it's going to be hot as death.
That's right. Well, we got the ocean, we got the nice Pacific Ocean here, so that
we literally have a swamp.
Yeah. So now it's kind of beach weather, and it'll actually be nice. But yeah, you know, so it's gonna be it's good. But you know, I mean, you know, our beer league season keeps going, and I'm still fighting to keep my roster spot. It's so sad. But I'm thinking, but there's part of me, even then, I'm thinking, you know what? Isn't it great that I have to work at this just to, you know,
just to stay there.
No one's going. Yeah, just to stay there, and I'm thinking. Yeah, you know, I think of all those amazing players in the NHL that are fighting to keep their roster spots. I'm thinking, what a glorious battle. You know, what a glorious battle.
Because you know, play well every game. I have the crazy thing with the LA Minx because I'm the captain.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about fighting for a roster spot. My roster spot's secured.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes me worry is that, A, I want to run it back with this crew, like all 13 of us. I want to run it back. With all 13 of us. And that's the max you can have on a roster. 12 players and a goaltender.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because you have four on four.
Because we play four on four.
Yeah.
I have two people down here in Maryland that I really, really want to bring up to the tournament next year. Like, I really want them to come up next year. But in order to get them on the roster, I have to have two people bow out. And that's how I fill the roster spots. And then one of my players, his wife, she's kind of like the main communication for me and that crew up there, because there's five of them as one group that, you know, that's on our team, and she's kind of the one I talk to. And which, by the way, I don't think you ever watch this, but hi, Aaron and Tyler. She messaged me. It's like, oh yeah, we might have a few more people that want to come up too. And I'm like, we might need to start a second team which is good, because that means we're growing and we have people who want to play because they see how much fun we're having. But then it puts the stress on us of going like, all right, how are we going to make this work?
Well, that's what happened with us is that, you know, but we just started getting different leagues at different levels, and I think that's what I'm dealing with now. Is there's a lower level that I think there are definitely a few folks. I mean, you know, they're great guys, so it's more about, you know, we won a championship, you know, defending a cup, whatever.
Yeah,
is there's no one's going to force me, and I literally just grandfathered the team. I was on the original team, but there's a little pressure to go to the lower level. And so, like, you have some, you know, and I probably would, I don't know if I would have more fun, because, you know, there's, I don't know, it's hard to tell. But anyway, but the point is that's what we did, is you just start another team, and you have different leagues, you know. I don't know if you have levels.
Well, I know when I was supposed to come into the VASHL in 2020, there were 18 teams.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to bring in an expansion team called the Apostles of Rufus, which everyone knows eventually I am going to create that team. That will be a team I lead in the future. It's just a matter of when, not if. Yep. And then there's supposed to be another expansion team that was going to bring it to 20 teams, I think it was. Or no, I think me and the other team were going to bring it to 18 teams.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they created two divisions of nine. You had the J division, which was like the pro division, the competitive division. And then you had the Silent Bob League, which was the recreational division. And so if we go that route and we get the Golgothans back, that will give us 12 teams. So I may pitch, hey, why don't you create the J and Silent Bob divisions again? Have the J division be your pro division and take the top six teams, put them in that division, and then take your other six teams and put them in the Silent Bob division as your recreational division.
Right.
And then you set it up in a way where it's like the top four teams make the playoffs in each division, and then the and then both teams get a championship game out of those top four.
Right, right.
And then you call it. You just say, okay, that's it. It's done. The last place team in the J division would then effectively in 2027 go down into the Silent Bob division, and the championship team of the Silent Bob division would then go into the J division. So it would act like a relegation and promotion, kind of like in soccer, right?
Right, right, right.
So
right.
That's my idea. If the Mings have to go the route of creating a second team, because we would literally have Mings A and Mings B.
Nice. Well, that's, you
know, that way we keep everyone under the same umbrella.
Good, good problem to have. So it's better than trying to keep a team together because no one's showing up. So
yeah, that's the idea that I have. This is the first time I've spoken of it publicly. If anyone from the VASHL hears of this idea and thinks it's a good idea, thanks. Give me full credit.
Putting it out there.
Putting it into the ether. But yeah. Real quick, I know we originally said an hour.
Yeah.
We're running a little over on that. I want to just hit a couple things super quick, then we're going to call for the show. So we're going to shift back to the NHL. First, PWHL. I said it before, but again, congratulations to the Minnesota Frost on winning the 2025 Walter Cup. They have won the championship back-to-back years, just like the Florida Panthers now. And free agency and the expansion draft has come and gone. Free agency is in full swing for the PWHL, so there's been a lot of movement in the PWHL, and next week is the PWHL entry draft coming.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a lot of things happening in the Professional Women's Hockey League. Check them out today as they prepare for their third season this fall. Now getting back to the NHL. Couple notes real quick, real fast. The Dallas Stars have traded Mason Marchment to the Seattle Kraken for a pair of draft picks. The noteworthy thing about this trade is that the Dallas Stars retained zero salary. But before that, they actually re-signed Matt Duchene to a four-year contract. And then they also just did some more signings today as well. One of the biggest reasons for the Marchment trade is because Dallas is going to go after Mitch Marner. It came out that Mitch Marner is, in fact, going to be testing free agency. So he is 99% likely to leave the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then, what's it called? There are rumors with the Oilers that apparently Trent Frederick might be getting an 8-year contract.
There
were rumors of that almost immediately after the Cup Finals was over. Apparently today Sam Bennett said that he is never going to leave Florida, so everyone thinks he's going to get an 8-year contract in Florida. We shall see. And then this goes back to our conversation earlier about Connor McDavid and the July 1 date. Because as I mentioned, Connor McDavid cannot sign an extension until July 1st per the CBA. Same would go for Ovechkin if he were to do it, which I don't think he will. The Winnipeg Jets announced today that they are going to be signing Jonathan Toews. As everyone knows, Jonathan Toews has been out of the league for the last 2 years, dealing with the effects of long COVID. And so he is now coming back, and the Winnipeg Jets are his hometown team. So he is signing a 1-year bonus-laden contract. The base salary is $2 million. The bonuses can bring it all the way up to $5 million. But here's the thing. Jonathan Toews' contract, even though they have laid everything out, they have agreed to terms on everything, cannot be signed until July 1st. So that's just the law of the land. And then obviously on the Washington Capitals side, as I mentioned earlier, they are not going to be bringing back Andrew Mangiapane, Taylor Radish, Lars Eller, Ethan Bear, and question mark is still on Anthony Beauvillier. It's just a matter of money for Beauvillier on if they re-sign him or not. But Mangiapane, Radish, and Eller, 100% hitting free agency, and just a couple days ago, the Washington Capitals gave Ethan Bear, who was, again, down in Hershey all season, but was called up for the playoffs as a black ace, he has been given permission to talk to other teams, and there is a lot of interest in Ethan Bear. So you could possibly see him being a July 1st day one signing on free agency for him. So that is that on the news and notes there. Turo, do you have anything else that you would like to add before we end the stream?
Well, it was a great season. That was a lot of fun. It's funny, it all started back in
October,
right? So, it's good, and it's funny. It's we got a onto next season, and I think both our teams are in good shape. So
it's just a matter of what impact guys they bring in, what changes.
But I kind of feel like it's nice to be in a position where it's looking forward. It's not, oh, we got to rebuild. It's like, look, we got something good here. Right.
Let's build on it.
And I like to think we all personally have something we can sort of take to the heart as we sort of deal with our own lives and careers. Is that, you know what? I will end on this. Is that, yeah, whatever the takeaway is, I believe, is just play your game, and I kind of feel like that's. That's the way to the cup, man.
Yep. It'll be our way to the Walter Cup next year, too.
For the that's LA right. That's
real quick, where can the people find you on social media?
Full name, atturomasamuni.com. Instagram is probably the best, but, I have a website. You can, atturomasamuni.com. You know what? My name's so weird that if you just type my name...
and actually, Toro, can you do me a favor? Can you just point downwards like this for me real quick, please?
Okay.
All right, right there where he's pointing is where his name is. So now you know how to spell it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I have our bottom thirds in here.
Yeah. So and I you can find me somehow. But I would say if you want to Instagram, if I post something coming up, shows, signing shows, things like that, or hopefully whatever, you'll find it. That's a good place to find it. I try to keep that fairly current.
Yeah.
Other things, not so much. The X account. Facebook is kind of what I do with fam, whatever. If you want sort of like, what am I up to?
Everyone just go to Instagram.
Instagram. Just go there. Just go there and take it from there.
For me, obviously, it's at the Lindenbaum 75 on all
social media. Or my website. Yes. Or my website, tormasmuni.com.
Yes. Obviously, for me, everything is at the Lindenbaum 75, just like here on the Twitch stream right here, except for on YouTube. YouTube is X75 Productions or TXHT Hockey. It's one of the brand names, not this. Like I said, it's the end of the season. Unlike Toro, where he just shifts his focus to another sport, I may watch a little bit of baseball. I may watch a little bit of soccer.
Yeah.
I just take a break from all the hockey.
Yeah, I remember the Red Sox did beat... This is how bad it got. I started watching the Red Sox-Yankees game during Game 6, and they won. They won that game. So that
I really go into hibernation, and then Dixon and I, we actually start in, late July, early August, start working on our 25-26 stuff.
Yep.
And actually, nice. This weekend... I am actually going to be working with an IT person. So if you see that txhthockey.com is down, do not fret. It is because we are changing our web host this weekend for txhthockey.com. And so we may have to take it down temporarily to move it off of one web host and onto another. So just putting that out there for everyone to know. So that will be.
Oh yeah, and by the way, it was really great today being back on Twitch. It's been
I was going to get to that in a moment.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yeah. So yeah, if the website, you're having issues with the website, just note that we are changing web hosts. But that's txhthockey.com. That's where all my projects are at right now. Eventually, with this changing to web host and me getting a new job, will then result in a proper X75 Productions website where all the other podcasts will be moving onto that platform right there. So with that, please make sure you go see Turo on the Twitch original series, Artificial.
Yeah.
Now you can go watch it. Now that the stream is over,
yeah, and yeah, what first two seasons? Bernie, that's why he's got three Emmys, is he loves it. He only believes in change, and so the show was so different by season. I wasn't even in season four, but we got the Emmy after season two, so those were the good ones anyway. And I like to think that I had something to do with that, but I was gonna say, and I'll have to try and dig it up, but I do remember at TwitchCon I did actually meet Kevin Smith, so nice. I have a picture of us all together.
I'll need to take a look at that, because the only time I've ever met Kevin, I was wearing my LA Mings jersey, not the new one that we unveiled yeah. this year. Oh, which by the way, we as a team won the Lady Ming trophy for most sportsmanlike team. And the criteria is the like overall attitude of the team, or if they have a new look or whatever. We got it because we actually changed back to our 2010 look. Mm. So we went retro. And because we had a family atmosphere to our team that everyone could gravitate to.
That's awesome.
And that's why we got the Lady Ming Award.
That's amazing. And culture is everything.
Yeah. You know? So we culture. And then, obviously, our boy Greeny won League Rookie of the Year. So, for fostering that attitude that the league is all about. But, yeah, no, I real quick, like you said, you got the picture of Kevin Smith. I wore my L.A. Mings jersey to the Clerks 3 convenience store. He took one look at me, saw the jersey, and goes, "Oh, my God, it's one of my Vashel boys." It just gives me a great big hug. I love Kevin. Yeah. It's the only time I've ever met Kevin, but it was such a great positive experience. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he is Toru Masamune. You can watch him on Artificial here on Twitch itself, or you can watch him as Shredder in the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. And plus, hopefully there's so many other projects.
Hopefully we'll have some good news when we all reconvene.
Yes.
We'll have some big news. Hopefully.
And then for me, just keep an eye out for any content that I put out there on @thelinemom75 on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, or on X75 Productions YouTube, because I'll be doing more stuff on that channel right now during the off season. And until next time, we will see you either late September or early October to kick off our 2025-26 season. So with that, we will see you on the ice.
All right. Peace out.